100 Years' War, the first interim period, 1340-1345. Brittany's Succession, Part 2. After marrying off Jeanne de Poitiers to Charles of Blois in 1337, it seemed like Duke John III of Brittany had settled the affairs of his duchy. Whenever he passed on, things would be set. But that would have made the transition too easy. Early in 1340, Duke John III, for some obscure reason, had a change of heart and was reconciled to his half-brother and changed the succession. The Duke made a new will, and after much deliberation with his closest advisors, and to the great surprise of everyone, he declared John de Montfort his heir after all. And on his deathbed, he said, quote, "For God's sake, leave me alone, and do not trouble my spirit with such things," end of quote. However, it really didn't matter. Charles of Blois' position was too strongly entrenched by John III's past acts. You know, John de Montfort claimed the support of the common people and the towns. The nobles of Brittany took it for granted that Charles of Blois would take over. And shortly after John III's death, the Breton Assembly of Notables met, and the notables overwhelmingly favored Charles of Blois. And the bishops accepted Charles of Blois by a vote of 7-2. The old duke was buried in the Carmelite monastery of Promel early in May of 1341. As the Breton nobility dispersed to their homes, John de Montfort arrived outside of Nantes with 200 armed men and bloodlessly took possession of the city. Now, this is a surprise. And, you know, the issue was simple. Nantes is the main city in Brittany. It is an important administrative as well as an economic center, and it lived well off of the salt trade, the wine industry, and the Loire River tolls. Well, when de Montfort shows up, the citizens of Nantes were confused. John de Montfort was the only claimant who appeared before the city to assert his rights. Charles of Blois had done absolutely nothing up to this point. So, to be on the safe side, the citizens paid homage to de Montfort, but with reservations. They decided that they would fight for him unless Charles of Blois should be pronounced the Duke of Brittany by the king. So, here is that opportunity for King Philip VI to have settled everything by simply saying, no, we're not going to have this mess. I know how the former duke wanted it, and this is the way it's going to be. But he does nothing. So that leaves everybody in this lurch. Well, John and his wife stayed in the ducal castle at Nantes, which was the main seat of the Breton government. Then they summoned the whole of the baronage of Brittany, as well as all the town representatives, to come to Nantes and to pay homage to them, or homage, if you like to pronounce it that way. That's the French way of pronouncing it, but either way is fine. Well, they arranged for 3 days of festivities, and while they waited for the responses to their summonses, John and his wife grabbed up as much of the treasury of Duke John III as they could get their hands on, which is not a surprise, because I'm sure these people were believing that this wasn't going to last long, so we might as well take advantage of it while we can. Now, of course, paying homage is normally not that big of a deal. It is an issue in the Hundred Years' War, and if nobody shows up, well, that pretty much guarantees that most of the people are against you. But he is sitting in power. It would require a military response. Well, part of that, where does he get his money? Okay, well, part of the money was seized from the Nantes Cathedral Sacristy. Now, usually you put your money in the church for safekeeping. Most people aren't going to rob a church. Well, they just picked that up. And that was part of the money, but most of the money is 200 miles away at the treasury at Limoges. So in the middle of May 1340, John launched a raid on Limoges with a handful of armed men. The citizens of Limoges were as confused and compliant as those at Nantes. They took their new seigneur at face value. They accepted his largesse, and in return, they delivered up the treasury. Now, the first signs of resistance did not appear until after John de Montfort had returned to Nantes from Limoges, loaded with cash. You know, we're talking about, he had a handful of men, and even when he went to Nantes, he only had 200. It wouldn't have required much of a response early on to have dealt with this. And the confusion of the people, they would have probably gone, oh, you know, he's got 500 people. Oh, let's go ahead and support him. So it's really odd to see these two important towns in a position of confusion. And, well, you know, he says he's our leader. We don't see the other guy. Let's not take any chances. Now, this is most likely toward the end of May of 1341. When the appointed day for the nobility and the towns of the Duchy of Breton were supposed to go to Nantes and pay homage, almost no one showed up. The only Breton leader to show up was Hervé of Léon, a self-serving schemer who had simply concluded John de Montfort was the man of the future. You know, his view was wrong. And his alliances didn't last long, so that obviously is not going to work very well. But he had local connections, and John did not have use him as a political advisor. But of course, without the rest of the nobility, you would say, all right, with the rest of the nobles didn't show up, they're probably gathering their forces for an armed push toward Nantes. No, they just didn't show up. They expected him to go, okay, I made a mistake, let me step back. And the other claimant is not in a real hurry either. Well, as the men of Nantes and the gentry of southeast Brittany ate the banquet that had been prepared and laid out for the great, John de Montfort suppressed his disappointment and devised a bold show of force. The object was to take possession of as much territory in Brittany as possible before any serious opposition materialized. And of course, this is one of those issues where if you had mass communications, you could make challenges pretty quickly. But this requires the other noblemen are sitting around waiting for the other claimant to ask for help. In return, they would give help for certain concessions. With that not taking place, they just kind of sit back. So it, at least de Montfort recognizes his position and is going to act on it. And so that's where we're headed next. He's going to go on this lightning raid through the countryside, finding more towns with confused people. Now, the sources for this are the Hundred Years' War by Perrois, the Hundred Years' War by Nylands, and of course, the Hundred Years' War, Volume 1, Trial by Battle by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that. As always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, enjoy looking around the site, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us with a donation. Thank you very much.